we welcome back to the program longtime columnist for the Boston Globe, the author of a number of books, including, I was just looking back through it again the other night, his wonderful memoir, Scribe, My Life in Sports. Bob Ryan joins us. Hello, Bob.
Hey, hi there. What's going on?
Well, great to have you back with us. How was New Orleans?
It was New Orleans, and I was a little, I wouldn't say apprehensive, but you know, you have a little guilt complex. I went there in the aftermath of Katrina, you know, and they want your tourism. They want you, naturally. But, you know, you feel like, oh, yes, I don't know, you know, you feel a little creepy. And then after the tornado, you know, but, you know, the same feeling. But believe me, you're totally welcome. And New Orleans was New Orleans, and they know how to run an event, trust me. And no matter what it is, and in this case, the Final Four, they do a great job.
Now, Carrie, our producer and co-host, actually is a New Orleans homeowner. He's got a place down there. If we had known, you could have stayed in the guest apartment down there.
Well, maybe next time.
It was certainly a very interesting tournament this year. After a couple of challenging years for college basketball, it was just nice to have a normal March Madness again.
It was. And, you know, it's interesting. The path for these teams to get there with the transfer portal and now the NIL, which is going to have untold ramifications as time goes on, you know, and the nature of how you construct the rosters, it's not the way it was even 5 years ago, let alone 30 or 40. But once you get there, the atmosphere of a Final Four remains the same. And we had a normal Final Four atmosphere. In fact, we maybe even had a heightened one because of the extraordinary interest in the Carolina-Duke game. And that was obviously something that was, they couldn't have scripted that one for their own purposes better than to have that happen. And the game lived up to the moment. I hesitate to say hype because, you know, just because it's such so cliche-ish, but it lived up to the moment. It justified the anticipation that we all had.
Where should Mike Krzyzewski's place be in the history of college basketball?
Number one. If you want to go one and a tie at one, acknowledging that what Wooden did in his era under very different circumstances was extraordinary, and that what Krzyzewski has done in his era is extraordinary, and there's nobody else in the discussion in terms of number one, but he won with, and the interest that to me the common thread of the two is that there was no definable Wooden style of basketball, nor was there a definable Krzyzewski style. They taught basketball principles. They each won without dominant centers, with dominant centers. With didn't matter what they just each took what they had and then and didn't try to put any round pegs in square holes or vice versa. You realize that Wooden's first championship, he had a 6'5" center, Fred Slaughter. Next thing you know, he's got Alcindor, and then he's got a team that doesn't have a dominant center with Steve Patterson. Then he gets Walton. Then he wins again with Richard Washington. and Coach K's case, we can go on and on about the nature of his teams, but that's the common thread. They taught basketball. They didn't teach their ball.
And was that and that level of flexibility the key to his success?
I think, and relationships, you know, when you were building them over a period of time, he made an adjustment. You know, he was the last one of the big guys to have to get hit with the one and done.
Right.
To get hit with he was graduating his guys when as far back as not necessarily one and done, but guys leaving early, period. As far back as the 70s with McAdoo, Dean Smith had to start dealing with it. And Coach K didn't have to deal with it until he was the last guy. Once he did, he embraced it. Wins that championship in 15 with those freshmen. Out Calipari's Calipari, in a sense, and right to the end. And apparently they've got another great recruiting class coming in. Now, that's John Shire, but you got to figure that the lure, L-O-R-E, as opposed to L-U-R-E, of Krzyzewski had something to do with these guys choosing to come to Duke and play for Shire.
You mentioned the transfer portal, and obviously that's a great opportunity for student-athletes, but is it good for the game?
It's horrible. It's horrible. When you have a situation where the kid at Miami played for four schools in 4 years, Charlie Moore, I believe his name was, and it's preposterous. Is he even, first of all, you know, all he has to do is 16 eligibility, is he advancing toward any remotely any pretense of quote unquote student athleticism is now just, you know, laughable. And it's only going to get better if people honor it. They all have to live with it. I don't understand, Rich, why anybody. I mean, I don't really understand why anybody would want to coach in this atmosphere now. To me, it's a nightmare. You're worried. You know, you're on guard all the time, stealing guys. They're guarding your guys, and then, you know, poaching the other guys. And how about mid majors? Just get a good player, and you know, and the vultures swoop in. I think it's terrible.
Well, you know, we see that with college football here at the University of Maine.
I don't care about college football. I mean, I care, but they can do what they want to do. My proprietary interest is basketball.
It's that same thing, though,
NFL,
that you...
No, it's the same. Football and basketball, they're the two. I don't know that... I'm asking a question that you can answer maybe, because I do not know. Is it a factor in the number three college sport, hockey? Has that happened yet? Or number four college sport, basketball, baseball? Has that happened yet? I haven't heard.
We certainly haven't seen much of that here with Maine hockey, and I don't know if it's happening. I'm having too much with baseball yet, but it is tough, though, because you go out and you do the work. You think you've found a diamond in the rough there as a recruiter, and then as soon as they develop any level of skill and marketability, they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's terrible. I mean, how can that be good for the game? It's not good for the game, and you know, it also, as I mentioned, puts just a spin on the idea that this is all about student athleticism. You know, of course it's not, and you know, we all know, we all wink at that. We've been winking at that for, you know, many years, but now, I mean, the idea and combine that with the graduate transfer thing. This all started with the graduate transfer
thing, right,
which, you know, it caught me by surprise. I remember the first person that I heard about was Russell Wilson. I don't remember any before Russell Wilson. And then, you know, that's 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And then now, of course, that's common. The graduate transfer thing is common. And did they really honor it? That, you know, remember, the thing was, you had to go to a school that and take up a field of study was not available at your previous institution for this graduate degree. Wasn't that the hook, supposedly? Was that ever honored? I have no idea. But anyway, it's a different landscape now, and the coaches have to deal with it. And if they choose to deal with it, fine. But I wouldn't think it'd be any fun.
We're talking with Bob Ryan here on Downtown. On to the NBA. Is this Celtics team constituted to make a deep playoff run?
No, not without Robert Williams. I mean, to me, it's house money right now. Now, I mean, I think this way more than most people. Okay, I'm not an optimist. I'm a pessimist. I think a pessimist is an optimist with experience. And I think low, and then I get pleasantly surprised. I don't understand why people want to go around disappointing themselves their whole life. I would rather be pleasantly surprised. I expect nothing more than a first round, maybe, now without Robert Williams. With Robert Williams, the way he was when he got hurt, the way they were playing, not just beating people, crushing people, they were an elite team that actually had a chance. And if he can get back to that level, I don't know how he can that quickly after a surgery, and they can do what they were doing 3 weeks ago, yeah, I'd be very excited. But right now, I'm just, hey, cool, whatever happens, happens.
Who's the best team in the East right now?
Milwaukee, I think. I know Miami's just the top seed, and they're not disrespecting them, and that would be a hell of a series. Milwaukee, they've got the best player, and he is the best player in the conference. Although Durant would be an argument. So along with Durant, you can argue either one. And they got Antetokounmpo. They got three really top players, and they just got Brook Lopez back. He had a 28-point game the other day. That's not what he's out there for, but he just happened to have one. But he anchored their defense last year, and they got him back. I think they're going to be very formidable. But we have one incredible X factor, and there's never been anything like this in the history of the league, and that's the looming presence of the Nets, who, you know, maybe they'll be a factor. And I'm not talking even counting on Simmons, but even without him. I mean, you know, those two guys can go out and get 57. They can go out and get 70 to 80 on any given night together easily, and they're dangerous. I see them, like, remember that Woody Allen movie where the mother was hovering over the landscape? That's the way the Nets are. They're the mother hovering over the landscape. You know. So I don't know.
The Red Sox perfect season has ended. They were beaten in 11 innings by the Yankees today, 6-5. Last year was such a pleasant surprise for a lot of Red Sox fans. I'm not sure what people are feeling about this year, but I would say right away there's got to be some concern with that bullpen. They went to three, four, five different relief, six relievers today, none of them named Matt Barnes. This is a team in search of a closer.
The Yankees used eight pitchers, as far as I know. You know, the Yankees celebrated like they won the World Series, so I don't know what that means. But, I mean, they really did. But it was an interesting game. But how about the way it started? Bang, you know. Red Sox get three. Devers goes deep on the first swing. Not the first time I've seen that, by the way, on first swing. Back in 77, Fred Lynn missed the first several, you know, a month and a half after he got hurt in spring training. And I was in Seattle when he hit home runs on his first two swings.
Wow. And wasn't
that was great. They better sign. If they don't sign Bogarts or Devers, I'm going to be it's going to be criminal.
Well, and one of those signings that is not working out is Chris Sale. Was that a bad idea at the time to give him that extension?
Well, I didn't criticize it, but the thing, you always had that apprehension. How could that, with that violent motion, how could he hold up? And it's all come to pass. All the worst fears about what would happen with this tall, skinny guy who threw that in that violent motion. And how he gets hurt in an innocuous way with an injury, I am told, is very severe. I mean, it's that's a dangerous injury, and he could be out a long time. And that's my information. So, it was an emotional thing. He had saved the World Series. He at his peak, he was a tremendous pitcher. But you know, that body type was always a what if, and now we found out, you know, the sad reality of it.
Are you okay with the end of pitchers hitting?
Yeah, I mean, I would have been, you know, I just wanted them to get one way or the other 30 years ago. This going on way too long. Two different. Once the National League, once we ended the idea of separate leagues with separate presidents, and they unified the umpires, there was nothing to separate the two leagues except the DH. And at that point, having two sets of rules which come into play at the postseason in a very dangerous, annoying way, was stupid. And on all those games during the regular season, it was stupid. And I was a purist for a while. You know, the National League game, the real game, the romanticism of when a pitcher could hit, and that famous standing ovation as the starting pitcher goes into the eighth inning and comes out the bat and the score is tied or they're up 1-0. You know, that was all part of the fun and all that. But in the end, it made more sense to keep the DH.
Bob, I know you're a big fan of satellite radio, Sirius XM. Do you still listen to vinyl at all?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am devoted. I've got about 500 albums still around, and literally, I do. I know it's kind of making a little bit of a comeback in a sense, and for people, which I think is wonderful. And I'm vinyl and CDs both. I mean, I don't listen to music by streaming. I do, but I am a big fan of Sirius. That's for sure. That is absolutely taken over my life. I always kid I wouldn't back out of the driveway without my Sirius radio.
So what's the go-to album for you? If there's only one album you can listen to, what would it be?
Oh, boy. I guess you got to start with Sinatra. And so, yeah, I have an answer. That's not even a hard answer. It's Sinatra at the Sands. Mm. That is the quintessential Sinatra album, as far as I'm concerned. Everything that made Sinatra, Sinatra. The ballads, the up-tempo, the ad-lib stuff, some of the best renditions of songs that he ever did, I think, are in there. Fly Me to the Moon, he never did it better. For example, his take on Where or When, up-tempo, is fantastic. Get Me to the Church on Time, the way he does it, fantastic. And then his staples, it's the second best version of I Got You Under My Skin after the original with Riddle in 56. But this one, Basie, is really good. And there's so many good songs in that album. And it ends up with My Kind of Town. And, oh, God, it's if you want to find out what made Sinatra, Sinatra, all you have to do is get Sinatra at the Sands. And then with the Basie band behind him, come on. That's just too much to be at task.
Can't go wrong with that. Bob Ryan, Boston Globe. Bob, thank you as always. Great talking with you. We'll do it again before too long.
I'm around. You can find me. Okay, good to talk to you, Rich.